ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So this afternoon's lecture is from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated and given purpose by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, that's chapter 2, text 7, and I was asked to do 7 and 8. In my prayers always, of course, we'll start at 7, and depending on what the parampara allows us to do, we might go to chapter 8, text 8 also. So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 7. Please repeat. Karmanya,
Duso
Pahata, Swabhava, Vrichchami, Twam, Dharma, Samuda, Cheta, Yach, Shreya, Syan, Nishchitam, Bruhi, Tan, Me, Shishyas, Te, Aham, Shadi, Mam, Twam, Prapanam. Now word for word. Kapanam, of miserliness.
Dosa,
by the weakness.
Upahata,
being afflicted.
Swabhava,
characteristics.
Prichchami,
I am asking.
Twam,
unto you. Dharma,
religion.
Samudha,
bewildered.
Chetaha,
in heart.
Yat,
what?
Shreya,
all good.
Syat,
may be.
Nishchitam,
confidently.
Bruhi,
tell.
Tat,
that.
Me,
unto me.
Shishya,
disciple.
Te,
your.
Aham,
I am.
Shadi,
just instruct.
Mam,
me.
Twam,
unto you.
Prapanam,
surrendered.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Please repeat. Now I am confused.
Now I am confused
about my duty.
About my duties.
And have lost all composure.
And have lost all composure.
Because of miserly weakness.
Because of miserly weakness.
In this condition.
In this condition.
I am asking you.
I am asking you.
To tell me for certain.
To tell me for certain.
What is best for me.
What is best for me.
Now I am your disciple.
Now I am your disciple.
And a soul surrendered unto you.
Please instruct me.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master. who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? Well, it is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3:8-10, the perplexed man is described as follows: Yoga itad aksharam kagi avitiya vidyasmam lokat prati sa pritvana. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the science of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. Ya itad aksharam gargi vidit vasma lokat prati sa brahmana. The Kripanas, or miserly persons, waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wives, children, and other members on the basis of skin disease. The Kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children too. Being intelligent, Arjun could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty was to fight, was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious, and now Arjun wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjun is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjun understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet, foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. Om Agyanati Vidandasya Yana Ginashalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurube Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sucha Shri Rupa Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva, Sri Radha Krishna Pada, Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostite. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Paravami Haripiye, Vanchakalpatrubhyascha, Vipasunibhya Ivacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Ghor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namahum Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Sitarini. Namo Mahapadanyaya, Krishna Prema Padayati, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurati Shri Namaha, Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya, Vimabhya Divasya Vishindaraya, Tasmi Mahaprema Ras Padaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So I'll read the translation again. You don't have to repeat. Up to me. Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Hare Krishna. So these are words from Arjuna addressing Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the battle of Kurukshetra, before the war itself began, Arjuna has asked Krishna, who is the Parthasarathi, the chariot driver for Arjuna. Arjuna had asked him to take the chariot to the center so he could see those who had come. And when he saw that those who were with him and guided him and loved him since he was a child were on the other side going to fight against him, you would be confused too. No, don't blame Arjuna. You would be very confused too. If you see your brother on the other side in a war and he's going to shoot against you, what would you think? What really would you think? Sometimes we take it lightly, you know, until put your family in the situation on the other side and see what Arjuna went through. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. It's very confusing. Supreme Personality of Godhead is on the chariot, driving the chariot. You're supposed to fight. And the people who are fighting are those that, your mates, your cousins, those that raised you, those you love very much, the person that trained you to become a soldier, even he's on the other side. All of them. And I mean, they're going to fight against you too. Not like it's a joke. So that was very, very confusing to him. But he's also a trained Kshatriya. And the war is on. So he's supposed to fight. He's supposed to fight. So that part is bothering him. He's supposed to fight. But then the people he's supposed to fight against, he doesn't understand why he has to fight them. Them of all people. So these were two opposing things in his mind. And when we have two opposing things in his mind, guaranteed confusion. You're going to be confused. You're going to, should I do, should I not do? So that was the situation he was in. And so he needed help. And so what does he do? Turn to Krishna and tells Krishna, no more friends. I need help here. Please instruct me. It seems like as a Kshatriya, I'm getting weak here. It seems like because the people that I'm supposed to fight are the people that I grew up with, and I'm now supposed to fight them, I'm being a little bit tentative, which is the miserly weakness that is described here. So in this condition, That's very important. In this condition, so basically tell Krishna, I'm really confused. So tell me for certain what is best for me. What should I do? What should I do? So make me your disciple. You instruct me. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that this is nature's way. It's a complete system of material activities which are a source of perplexity for everyone. There's only one problem. Some people see it and some people don't. Some people think that once you get all the toys in life, you're okay. Are we really okay? Can we escape death? Can we escape old age? Can we escape disease? And if our mothers really want to tell us, when we were born, she suffered and we suffered, trying to come out as a baby. So, to complete that lifetime and start another lifetime like that, you think about it. Go through that again. Does that really, really help us? No. And so, that's why Srila Prabhupada says, in every step there is perplexity. And therefore, it behooves one, it's necessary for one to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get the proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. So, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, when we pray, any sane person prays for what? Good things to happen. Nobody prays for trouble. Nobody. We don't wish for trouble to come, but it comes. Who's escaped trouble before? Nobody. Distress will come, even though we don't wish for it, and we certainly don't pray for it. So it's designed into the system of living in this material world. And the idea is to really frustrate us to the point where we're going to want to leave. And if we come to the point where we're tired of it, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 21, in the middle of that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the person that is qualified for liberation is a person that is disgusted with the material world. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly right in the middle of the purport. He says that. If you're tired of the spiritual, tired of the material life here, you're going to want to leave. And that is when you're thinking in terms of, not that you left the material world, you're thinking in terms of being, and not thinking alone, and being ready to act on that thinking, is liberation. It's liberation mentally, not physically though, but it's still liberation. In other words, you want to get out. Therefore, you start acting in such a way that when this body finally quits, you're not coming back into another body into this space. And you're sure of that, and therefore, you think about it, you want to do all that it takes to get out. Then what Krishna is saying, then what Guru is saying, we take it all seriously, because that's our ticket out. Just like Srila Prabhupada is saying, we should, just like Arjuna did, we should also approach a bona fide spiritual master to give the proper execution of life. Proper. Not just taking all material things and thinking the material things are the all in all. So, the world situation. The world is like a forest fire. Now, if you listen to the news today, you know there's just fire brewing everywhere. This is internationally. Country to country. There's war without guns yet. It's called economic war. It's already started. Sanctions, tariffs, one country giving another country trouble. Now the invasion is an economic invasion. Deliberately starving people. This is all going on. It's all going on. We thought the mafia was bad, but I don't know what's going on now. I wouldn't even make that comparison. I kind of told you indirectly, basically, what's going on. I have the big stick. You do as I want. I don't have to mention, you know who I'm talking about. You do as I'm doing, and the stick is coming on you. This is life now. So, well, we were told Kali Yuga was going to get worse and worse and worse. Isn't it proving true now? That's the situation we're in. But for us, we are only here temporarily. We understand that. We have to get up. The only problem is if we don't take the process of bhakti yoga seriously, see, then we cheat ourselves. It wasn't like it wasn't told to us that we have to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that's what the Prabhupada describes a miserly person. Not a miserly person that doesn't want to spend money. A miserly person that knows the opportunity is there to get out and doesn't want to take it. That's the miserly person we're talking about. We can save ourselves, we can save other people. There are a lot of ways to do that. A lot of ways. Even if you meet somebody who is not Krishna conscious and doesn't want to hear about Krishna, you can give him prasadam, a snack. A snack. They start. You can even give non-human bodies type of, even then they can hear. For example, if you offer, you do that, you cook, you know how to offer the boga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then you close the offering, and now you have prasada, maha prasada. You have food on there, you also have water. Now, you certainly can distribute the food to, well, say, what it is, a prasada to yourself and family members, but you also can take a little bit and go outside and leave it on the side of a tree so that the ants can get it. You spread the mercy. I mean, we've eaten prasadam every day. We eat prasadam. So a small amount to the insects. Take the water, pour it on the plant. That's food for the plant. Okay. So we can give so much mercy, more mercy than we realize. So every now and then, if you have plants in your house, all of them should have water. By now, if they haven't, please do that. Give maha water to all your plants. And the grass in front of your house, and the trees in front of your house, because what really happens is, when these entities receive prasadam, the next life, the very next life, they will be born as humans. And I checked into this, I made sure this table, I asked two sannyasis about it, they both confirm. From whatever state that they're in, you give prasadam, they eat that, next life, humans. And you know the human body that can understand Krishna and start the process of Bhakti Yoga. So Krishna gives us excitement in Krishna consciousness based on how much we help other entities. So in Nectar of Instruction, it says the six exchanges of love, give gifts, receive gifts, give prasadam, receive prasadam. It doesn't say give prasadam to humans only. He says, give prasadam. So in any form, you put your own mind to it, how you can distribute prasadam, especially to those entities that cannot come for prasadam unless you put it out yourself. A little bit of it, like that. This is the best time, summertime, all the insects are out. So you can give mercy like that. And when we do that, then Krishna is pleased with us, then Guru is pleased with us, and therefore he helps our own kripa to be well protected and also to grow. The more we give, sometimes we feel we have to do this and that and this and that and fight the mind to try to stay in the regulated principles. No, the more you give your heart out, Krishna can do all of that. If Krishna is pleased, then he helps us. It's the easiest way to improve our bhakti yoga is to be more giving to other entities spiritually. So, a person who isn't trying to do much for themselves in spiritual life, Srila Prabhupada is calling the miserly person, the man in material perplexities. So that person would quit life like the animals, like the birds, who don't really understand what it takes to be successful spiritually in life. Quit like that. That's a waste, because the human body is one that is the minority of all the types of bodies, and there's a very, 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 very small percentage of human bodies. See, sometimes we hear 400,000, seems very big, The other ones are 8 million. Now, if you do the math, compare 400,000, what is a fraction of 400,000 out of 8,400,000, the total? It's 4.75%. That's all. 95% of the types of bodies that the soul can get in is non-human, guaranteed no going back to Godhead this lifetime. You can't. Only 4.75%. And imagine how many people in this world are not chanting Hare Krishna. And they are in human bodies, not even taking advantage of it. So it's very few. So we are fortunate to hear about Krishna consciousness. All we have to do, take it seriously. Take it seriously. And not be miserly. We think, as Sri Baba is saying, the Kripana or miser wants to protect family. He thinks that he's going to be able to protect families from death. Family members keep their bodies all the time. Don't we know? Maybe not our family members, but other family members are leaving. Everybody that leaves is connected to some family. So this is the reality. As Maharaj Yudhishthira had to answer questions from his father Dharmaraj, who was disguised as a yaksha, this is Mahabharata. And one of the questions he asked is, so what is, I'll use the word perplexity, which sounds very nice. What's the perplexity of life? People actually, you know, should know better but don't. So I kind of paraphrased the question. And Maharaj Yudhishthira said, people see that other people are dying, but somehow they don't think that they will die. And therefore, they don't ever prepare for death. Death will get to somebody, but never me, even though everybody around. Every day you hear that somebody is leaving the body. So for devotees, leaving the body is not a mundane thing at all. For us, if we take Krishna consciousness seriously, leaving body is our ticket for going back to Godhead. For a non-devotee, leaving the body is, if the person is an old person, leaving the old garments and getting new garments and starting all over again, the same troubles and perplexities, packaged in a different way, maybe a different race, a different part of the world, or maybe in another planet or another universe, but the same perplexities in packaged in another way, what happened? But as soon as we begin to be affectionate to our own selves and say, we've suffered too much. Life isn't supposed to be like that. Let me make this my very last life. To get back to Godhead, please my own self by trying hard. This is how you really please yourself. By trying hard in Bhakti Yoga and also assisting others in Bhakti Yoga. Both of them should be there. Not just, if we do it for ourselves, then we're selfish. But we help other people because Krishna wants everybody to go back. But also everybody has free will. So some people will take it, some people won't. But those who don't know, if you help them, Krishna likes it very much. Somebody turns to Krishna consciousness, likes it very much. And that, he says, the more that we surrender to the process, he rewards accordingly. Surrendering is taking our own sadness seriously, but also helping others like that. So, in doing so, there are a few principles for community building. It's all about caregiving and showing love. Showing love is fairly simple. We have our own people that we love. Sometimes we think everybody outside of the people we love, we're not supposed to love them. We couldn't be more wrong. It's just the level that may change. Some people have friends and some people have lovers. It's all love, just different levels. So, what is love? Sri Prabhupada always described this at the end of his letters. He says, you're ever well wisher. When you wish somebody well, you love them. Whether you define that as love or not, you actually love them. It's only a well-wisher that will care about somebody. When somebody cares about them, they're a well-wisher. They will do that. Both ways work. So that's all there is. And your love builds more and more and more, higher and higher, depending on how receptive the person that you're loving is. The more they accept it, the more you love them. If they stay away from you for a while, you realize that the love is not that much. But if they're around you and they keep in touch with you, you grow more. That's all it is. So, we treat everyone that we meet with the understanding that the success of our spiritual life depends on how we treat them. On how we treat them. The better we treat other people, the more we treat people well, the more successful our spiritual life is going to be. Because Krishna will be happy, Guru will be happy by the way we're relating. Now, when there's conflict, second point, we always should see how we can deal with the situation to end well. And ending well means, yes, I am person A, another person is person B, and we don't agree on a certain point, or maybe there's more than one way to do things, and you think it's one way, it should be done one way, and the other person thinks it should be done another way. That also brings that sometimes, or just an opposite, yes and no, to the same point. You may talk about it, but the main thing is, at the end of that exchange, you should not be enemies. You can express a point, but not in such a way that once the discussion is over, now you burn a bridge. Because it's going to come back and hurt us. If we burn bridges, we ruin relationships, it comes back to hurt us. Why? Because remember, Krishna said, when we're leaving our bodies, thinking about Him, then we go to Him. This is in Bhagavad Gita. One who leaves the body thinking about me, quitting the body thinking about Krishna, will in fact attain Krishna Loka without fail. Now, when a person is dying, the senses shut down. If you think you can chant Hare Krishna when you're dying, stop dreaming. It's not going to happen. If you've seen videos of somebody dying, who is chanting? Devotees around that person are chanting. Can the person hear? The answer to that is absolutely. Because when all the senses shut down, the sense of hearing is still operational. It's not that fast to shut down. That's why when somebody's sleeping, you can call them and wake them up. Because they can hear. You can't use your eyes. You can't put a picture of the name on the paper in front of them. They still keep sleeping. The eyes won't help. But the ears will. And so when you chant Hare Krishna, the person that can't chant because the others, you know, to speak in order, the dying person cannot do that. But they can hear. And when they hear, they remember Krishna. And Krishna says, you remember me, you come to me. So now you burn bridges, come back. So many faults, so many disturbances, very few devotees. Now time has come to leave your body. And a lot of devotees are upset with you. Who's going to come chant for you? See how you get burned yourself? So the more relationships you break, the less likely you're going to get devotees to come to you to help you to go back to Godhead. So then you cheat your own self. But you can't afford to break relationships. So even if you disagree with someone, still be mild in the way you deal with that death. So at the end, you're still a friend. And if it doesn't work, nothing works, because they won't hear anything, apologize to them. And leave for the time being, because Krishna will work their hearts later on. It will end well one way or the other. The important thing is, it just has to end well. Don't cause trouble, because the people who cause trouble to get mad at you, they won't come help you at the time you need somebody to chant for you. Because when you're dying, you cannot chant on your own. You have to depend on others to do it for you. So you don't criticize anger, of course, that breaks bridges. And also gossip, when somebody hears they've been gossiped badly, and whoever did that gossiping, they find out, automatic, relationship broken. So we have to be careful about those two. So, with your permission, I'm going to go to Bhagavad Gita 2.8 in a short, it's very much related to Bhagavad Gita 2.7, because I was asked to do both. So, I'll go to the translation, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 8. I can find no means to drive away this grief. Srila Arjuna speaking. This grief which is drying up my senses, I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like that of the demigods in heaven. So then, translated this, that Arjun is saying, it doesn't look like it's a good idea to fight. The grief is drying up my senses. I won't be able to dispel that grief even if I get a very nice kingdom. The way in which I got it, that's going to disturb me. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Arjuna was putting forth so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, and it appears that he was not able to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master. So we said that in the earlier, when perplexities of life are helped out by the message from the spiritual master. So we should applaud the spiritual master. Sri Krishna himself says it. It's there. You have to, in Bhagavad Gita, approach the spiritual master and inquire submissively. Inquire submissively for him. And also serve him. Serve him. Krishna has made sure that Guru is Krishna's representative. Therefore, through Guru, what you need to hear from Krishna to improve our lives will be told to you by Guru. So we are in the hands of Guru, basically, as far as help goes spiritually. Srila Prabhupada is saying that Arjuna could understand his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, and his problems were drying up his whole existence. So it's impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says academic knowledge, scholarship, high position are all useless in solving the problems of life. As we can see, in science, so much has been developed. But what is the ultimate situation now? The ultimate situation now, so much money being spent, is on what? Ammunition. One country trying to be better at killing. It's a power play now. Who has the most weapons? Who has the most devastating weapons? So much money is being spent on that. So is that all the science could get us to? To prepare how to kill each other and not trust each other? On intellectual, not trust each other? So that's the situation now. And now there's bullying going on too. The one that gets bigger things can dictate to the other person, you know, what happens. This is life in the material world. So Srila Prabhupada says, get out and move back to Godhead. It's the best people that anybody could hear. Get out and leave them. If they want to kill themselves, make life difficult for themselves, we'll do what? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They're shooting each other and witch hunting. So who's got a better situation? So take the mantra very seriously. It's so simple now. Even a two-year-old can chant. And I'm not saying that to say that. I've seen a two-year-old in the temple in Harrisburg, and he chanted Hare Krishna. I was shocked. It came out pretty easily. 2 years old. So we all should take it seriously. So, Srila Prabhupada says, let's end here, because I'm looking at the time. I know it's 5:30. That we're supposed to end. A scholarly Brahmin expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. It's a matter of knowing Krishna consciousness and also practicing Krishna consciousness. Practicing. Then that person can, in fact, teach the science of Krishna consciousness. So even a family born in the lower caste can become a spiritual master if he's a Vaishnava. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has made us. So then he says, we cannot counteract the problems of life, birth, old age, disease, and death with just wealth and economic development. People are trying to do that, economic development in different parts of the world, yet the problems of material existence are still there. So then it all comes down to take the process seriously, help others, even those that are not in human bodies, as we talked about earlier, to also start the process. The more people and the more entities, even non-human entities, that we help, the more pleased Krishna will be with us. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to read the first translation also, 2:7, and then open up for questions. So the 2:7 and 2:8 are both similar. So 2:7 translation: Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and the soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions? Question?
Are you confused about doing his duty and fighting against his relatives? Can you speak a little bit to kind of what his effective duty was? And I know it's a little bit mad, but what was our duty? What was he doing in battle, and you know how that relates to, you know, in our own lives, the duties of our own lives, and how we should be seeing our own duties.
Life, hopefully everybody heard the question. Life is like being in a battle of Kurukshetra anyway. Our own lives are like that. There's always struggles. So Arjun, before fighting, was even struggling with the idea of whether to fight or not to fight because of the situation. You know, relatives and those who raised him were on the other side. Sometimes our own relatives become a problem for us. There are some of you that are fortunate enough, everybody in your family is Krishna conscious. Well, now you're fortunate. The rest of us, and in my case, my own blood sister, same father, same mother, tried to get me not to be Krishna conscious. And I had left the Catholic Church, and she knew that. And I had gone to different religions because I wanted to know more about God. And she never complained, but I don't know. When it came to Krishna consciousness, she jumped up. Why are you vegetarian? The idea is you eat meat, but you eat moderately. Don't eat too much, but you should eat meat. The one thing after another, that she wasn't the only one. My father-in-law, my wife's dad, the second person. Krishna is not real. Krishna is not the real God. You know how a wolf dressed up in sheepskin? This is the analogy she gave me. Right? So it looks like he's tame, but he's really trouble. So now my sister is hitting me one side, my father-in-law is hitting me on the other side, and I'm just a new bhakta. Just started. So now I'm just trying to think, would I really, and these two people that, you know, matter in my life, at least I thought that way, after me, the stuff. So all right, don't be vegetarian. So, all right, let my body decide. At that time, I was working out quite a bit. And so I switched to vegetarianism, and we took a vegetarian class, and I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, but the disciples have arranged that. I took the class and started cooking vegetarian. I said, let the body make, again, I'm bhakta now. I don't know Krishna that well. So my own body would decide. Well, my own body became more enduring of practice when I practiced than when I was a meat eater. Because, well, if my body is saying that, then it must be that I have to be. So this is how Krishna saved me. Use my own body to prove to me that being vegetarian was better. Now, as far as being, you know, Krishna being a wolf in sheepskin and so on, he made, now my father-in-law is a Christian preacher. And he said, Jesus' blood will save you. He died for all of us. Therefore, and you're probably going to have trouble believing this, therefore, even if I kill 500 people, he has said that. And I tell Jesus that I'm repentant, I'm sorry, then I'm going to be forgiven and I'm going to be saved. So he gave an extreme example of how important Jesus' blood is. Now, I've always thought about this. Jesus preached for about 4 years before he was crucified.
4 years. He died in one afternoon. One afternoon. But he preached for 4 years. So if all he wanted to do was just to die to save people's sins and not tell us how to even live in the mode of goodness, what was the point in spending all that time preaching? He could have just died one afternoon and everybody's sins and everybody would be saved. Why did he spend so much time telling people the right thing to do and the wrong thing not to do? And my father-in-law is telling me, oh, you'll be saved. You just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. So then I asked him a question, like, but when did Jesus come? Because there, this is another thing. Jubilee Day in Harrisburg, devotees set up a table, book distribution. And the Christians came with their Bible, four of them, guys. And they were going to really, really debate us and tell us that we were in Maya. They don't use Maya, but you know, my language tells Maya. So then, many people knew that I had a Christian background. A good many of the devotees had a Hindu background. They didn't know what was in the Bible. So as soon as they came, they pointed to me and said, go talk to them. So then I asked them, when was Jesus here? They couldn't answer. I said, well, when did Jesus die? You know the calendar. We're in the 2000s now. So he died about 2,000 years ago. How long has the earth been? You don't need to tell me. You know it's more than 2,000 years. So if you say Christ is the only Savior, so before 2,000 years he came, God was sending everybody to hell? The only Jesus had come, the only one, and when Jesus came, then people would go to heaven then? So immediately they couldn't answer that kind of question. And many other questions that's in the Bible that supports reincarnation. Now I can make a short thing, it was 5:30, I still don't know where it stopped. So the disciples, Jesus had 12 disciples, they came to him one time with a very important point. They were saying that those who knew the scriptures were saying that yes, there was somebody like he was claiming to be Jesus, the Savior, was supposed to come, but according to the scriptures, there was Elijah that had gone. He was supposed to return before whoever the Savior is comes. And the point is, they haven't seen any Elijah. So they were accusing Jesus. If Elijah hasn't come, how can you say that you're the Savior? Because the scriptures cannot be violated. It says Elijah comes before you. So then the disciples couldn't answer. They went to Jesus. They asked him. And Jesus said, yes, what is in the scripture is true. Elijah is supposed to come. Then he said, he came, but they didn't know him. And they have disturbed him. They mistreated him. Matter of fact, they killed him. And they will do the same thing to the Savior, the Son of Man, meaning himself. They're going to mistreat me. And then it says in the end, the disciples understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. Now remember, this is about Elijah coming before the Savior. But when Jesus explained, it says there that the disciples understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. So then I asked them, I thought we were talking about Elijah. So how did it get to the point where they're saying John the Baptist? They don't know the answer. Because they don't know that the soul can transmigrate from the body of Elijah and return into the womb of John the Baptist's mother and be born again. It's the same soul. We know the soul is a real person. We've taught here, we take it for granted. But they didn't know. And it's in the Bible. So now point it out to them. Those who want to know, it's in Matthew 17, 10 through 13 in the Bible. So then I had to point out to you, the soul, you don't know anything about the soul. All you know is when somebody dies, then the soul goes to heaven or to hell. But what is the nature of a soul? What does it consist of? Where is it? What's its size? We know all of these. But they don't know. Then I point, it's all in the Bhagavad Gita. So in the end, after all the arguments, they took a sense of civilization in the Bhagavad Gita with them. They wanted to find out what's in there. And I was like, Haribo! Any other questions? It's at now 5:32, so. You ask questions. Okay. Antraj, Himat Bhagavad Gita ki. Jira Bhagavad ki. Itai Guru Brahmanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.